have people that are visiting with us today, and we're delighted for your being here today with us. Come back every opportunity that you have. Always glad to welcome our visitors. Brother Glenn got a telephone call today about Rhonda Rusk Brewer. She's the daughter of Bobby and Nancy Rusk, who used to attend here at O'Neill. She had surgery, and then after the surgery, she suffered a stroke. She's very ill, and the family's called him, and he's asked me to pray, have a special prayer for her. Isn't that something? I tell you what, we surely want to remember her in our prayers. Let's pray right now. Our Father, we're glad and thankful that we can come before the great physician, you, our Father, which art in heaven. And today, we pray, our Father, that you'll be with Rhonda, that you will bless her. And Lord, if it is your will that she'll recover, we pray, Father, that you'll be with her family as they're waiting upon her and for all those people that are tending to her needs. We pray, O God, that you will strengthen them. Continue to watch over us all. And we just have so many in our congregation that are sick, just not doing well, and people that have lost wonderfully good loved ones. Bless them all and help us, Father, to realize that you are a God that comforts and consoles and that you can do all things. We just pray your will be done. Please forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I left the house this morning, Ann said, you be sure to tell everybody I love them. I sure miss them. She's about the same, having a real tough time now after this has fallen upon her. But we're hoping and praying that things will be different for her along with everybody else. And today I want to speak on a very common, simple sermon. I want to talk about a wise man building his house upon the rock and a foolish man building his house upon the sand. Now, most of you have heard many times, I'm sure, from the word of the Lord, wisdom from God, about these two builders, found in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus gives this teaching, and it's a simple but yet powerful teaching. A lesson about a man who's wise, who builds his house. He takes time to build that house upon a solid foundation. And then here's a man that is kind of, not concerned about the foundation. And he builds his house upon the sand. And Jesus tells us the result of both of these. Both the man who is the wise man and the man who is the foolish man. And there is I'm getting these different charts, by the way, the pictures and all from a place about, that costs me about $30 a month, so we don't have to worry about anybody suing us for any of those things. And you can adopt them, and that's what I'm doing. And I thought this was a real interesting one here about foundations, where we're going to talk about that. And oh, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And I wanted to sing that song this morning. And I wonder if we can. And young people, all you children, I'd like to hear you. And Matt was so nice. He got out this morning, got the words to it. And some of you old people, would you also sing? And everybody, if you can, let's sing this song together. Oh, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock and came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down and the floods came up. And the wise man's house stood firm. Oh, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Oh, the rains came down. A little bit louder. Good. The rains came down and the floods came and the foolish man's house went. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessings can come down. So as the prayers come up, the blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, that's pretty good. Now, let's see what the Lord said, okay? Jesus, show us the way. We want to know, what is the way? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Now, Jesus in the very beginning makes it very clear. Not enough, just call him Lord. You can call him Lord all day long. That won't make a bit of difference. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We establish that fact in the very beginning. Our Lord, it makes it very clear. Nobody can misunderstand it. Just to call Jesus Lord, Lord, does not mean that you'll go to heaven where Jesus is. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? There are going to be different people respond different ways to Jesus in that day. People who are people, people we've known. And notice what Jesus said. Many will say to me in that day, and they call me Lord, Lord. But they didn't prophesy according to my word. They didn't do their works in keeping with my will. And then while I profess to them, I never knew you. What? Jesus said, I'm telling you, it's very clear. This is the Lord speaking. The Lord says it very clearly. He makes it very clear. Nobody can misunderstand it. And Jesus said, you didn't do it according to my will. Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart. Oh, boy, that'd be terrible. Depart from me, ye that work lawlessness or iniquity. You didn't do it according to my law. What Jesus is really saying is, I've told you what I want you to do, and that is to do the will of God. What is the will of God? He's told you. Listen to what he has then to say. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. If a person hears, and he then acts upon those the words that he has heard, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it didn't fall. All that came down against it, that house, it withstood it all. Isn't that wonderful? And he said, it fell not. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. The foundation, oh, it's so important in building. The foundation was concrete. It was stern. It was stone. It was rock. But he said, it didn't fall because it was on a sound foundation. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now wait, let's just stop there for a moment. You can listen to the Word of God being read. You can turn to your Bible and you can read it from day in and day out. But if you don't pay attention to it, what good is it going to do you? If you do something that the Bible doesn't tell you to do, then you're going beyond the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he should be like a man that's a foolish man. What would a man go out and expend all the time to build a house and the foundation not be given the ample attention? Well, which built his house upon the sand? Anybody knows when the rains are coming and when the storms are coming, what's going to happen to that house that's built upon the sand? It's going to fall. And listen to what Jesus said. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he should be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. How awful it'd be. I can't help but think about that area out in California. My friend Sebastian said, have you heard about this particular multimillionaire people lived in that area? I don't know how many are now found dead. But the muds began about 2:30 in the morning. The muds came. And some of the houses, all they can see, just the top of a chimney. And it just all got in that and submerged in. I mean, you're talking about people who have houses of millions and millions of dollars. And I think Jeff Bridges had a house that's really been almost destroyed or a lot of damage done to it. But the rains are coming. And I asked Sebastian, I said, Sebastian, why was that be? He said, the fires have been so bad, it just simply engulfed all the vegetation. And therefore, there was nothing at all to hinder them as the rains came for those houses to be overflooded and mud just being came. I think at 2:30 in the morning is when it hit them that worst. A friend, that's a terrible thing. To know you got a house, you put in millions of dollars in that house, and not even be safe in that house. But I can tell you something worse than that. For you to hear the word of the Lord and not do it. Jesus is saying, listen to it. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat up on that house and it fell. Wow! And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus told them, look, I'm telling you this. Jesus said, the sayings of man are from God. Unless you do the will of God, then you cannot escape damnation. I tell you what, I think we all really need to pay close attention to what the Lord said. For he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. Not everyone that saith unto me, and then notice what he says as he continues about the wise man and the foolish man. In verse 24, everyone then that hears what? These words of whom? Of man. Why? God has put all power in Jesus, Matthew 28:18. He has all authority in heaven and earth. God says, this is the means by which you will be saved. And then he says, everyone then that hears these words of mine and does them, not enough to know them, not enough to memorize them, not enough to just simply get an acquaintance of them. When I tell you something, I mean it. You do it. That's the lesson. The foolish man, though, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, he'll be like a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. Hearing the sayings of the Lord is important. It was when Jesus gave this wonderful example. It's so important today. We surely don't want to be like the foolish man. It's so simple. In Matthew chapter 7, right before he gave this teaching, he said, enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. That's the sayings of the Lord. The sayings of whom? Of Jesus Christ. What does the sayings of Jesus Christ say? Jesus said, enter ye at the straight gate. The broad way is the way that leads to destruction. People are going to die. People are going to die and be destroyed. Why? Forever and ever and ever. Why? Because they won't listen to what I'm saying. They won't listen to me. My words is so important. Let me think with you with regards to the reward for serving the Lord. You know, it'd be a great thing to live a life being faithful to God and then dying and knowing that your eternity is set before you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? What a terrible thing, though, for people who have heard preaching of the gospel of Christ. People here in this congregation who heard Fred Evans, who heard Brother Doug Matlock, who have heard Randall Hammond. People who have heard the word of the Lord. Preachers that we've called in. People who we have sat and listened to them. But we've listened and sometimes not obeyed. There are people in this congregation that never obeyed the gospel. Why? Because they just will not obey the will of the Lord. What does Jesus say about his church? That's so important. The church of Christ, the church that Jesus died for, the church that put people in it. It's by Jesus Christ. In Acts 2, verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Nobody's in the church unless the Lord adds them. They don't join the church. They're added by whom? By the Lord. He's the one that can put them in, and he's the one that can take them out. In the book of Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body. There's not two churches. There's not 200 churches. The Bible says there is one. And Jesus is the head of that church. And Jesus is the one that put you in that church. The Bible says in Galatians 1, verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church. Friends, sometimes people say, the church's not going to save you. No. It cannot save you. I tell you what, though, Christ doesn't save anybody that's not in the church. How do you know so? He's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Christ may have the preeminence. I want people to see that those who love Jesus, listen to His words, and then obey them, are the wise people. They're building their house, their lives, upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. What about eternity? The broad way. The most of the people that have ever lived are going down the broad way. It's easy. Everybody, sometimes you hear people say, well, there are a lot of people, I mean, really important people that are members of our church. Doesn't make any difference what the individual may be. Friend, the church is the church that Jesus purchased with His own body. Those that are saved are those who have been added by the kingdom of God. And what about baptism? The common, easy saying. The eunuch was told about baptism in Acts chapter 8. He said, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? What hinders you if you not obey, never obeyed the gospel? The eunuch was told to do what? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Why? Because baptism is so important. The people on the day of Pentecost were told, people who had killed Christ, crucified Him, who cried out and say, crucify Him, crucify Him. And now they hear a message that is outstanding, for the message that they hear is from the Lord. And that message is when Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified. You sinners, you're the one that has done it. You killed Him, but He died for you. That's a wonderful thing. And now they said unto Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Why? For the remission of sins. And the Lord added that day to those who obeyed the gospel, 3,000 people. About 3,000 people. Acts 18, verse 9, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and they were baptized. Why? They heard what God said about baptism. And when a man hears or a woman hears what God says about baptism, he'll either do one or two things. She'll do one or two things. They'll either accept it, hear it, believe it, and obey it. And therefore, as a result of such, show that they're a wise builder. There's only one Lord. There's only one King of kings and Lord of lords. In Ephesians chapter 4, there is one body and one spirit as you have also called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one Lord, one Lord. Who is He? Jesus Christ. What did He say in Matthew chapter 7? These are My sayings. These are My words. Believe them and do them and you're rewarded. I'll do what I promised you to do if, condition, you hear them, believe them, and do them. His teaching was to make sure that we do and obey His will. In conclusion, I want you to think seriously about this point. There's one life to live to prepare for meeting the Lord. Just one. Everybody in this building been associated with death. Three brethren in the last 3 weeks gone into eternity. Others related to members of our congregation who have died. Yes, the Bible makes it very clear that all shall die. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But guess what? It's not just dying. It's what follows death. That's what Jesus died for. What follows death. What is it? It's the great judgment of God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's the sayings of God through Paul to all humanity. In Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now what, Lord? But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a judgment for all mankind. And that judgment is on the basis of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The living know that they shall die. Wouldn't there be a person in this building this morning would deny it? And how can a person live and then know at any moment he can die and not be ready to die? Oh, my friend and mine, wise man, who is he? He hears these sayings of mine. That's what Jesus said. But not only does he hear these sayings of mine, he doeth them. And he builds his house upon the rock. And yet so many people are just lukewarm. So many people are just barely getting by. When we are to do everything we possibly can to try to get this message to everyone and those that are lost to hear the glorious news of salvation, that is Jesus Christ. And I threw in this saying, and I really believe it. No one will miss heaven who is prepared to go there. Now just stop and think about it. If you're prepared today, you know that you're all right with God. Your life is right with the Father. You've heard His words. You have been baptized into Christ. And when you have slipped and fallen, you've made confession of fault, you're seeking to do the will of God. You're preparing yourself to do what? Preparing yourself to die and then to meet God in judgment. But no one will go there who is unprepared. That's what Jesus said. Here's the wise man. He hears the word. Does what the word says. Builds his house upon the rock. Here's the foolish man. He hears the word. He didn't pay attention about the foundation. He doesn't do what the word says. And he builds his house upon the sand. And then, what happens? Yes, the rains descend. The floods come and beat against the house. One stands, the other falls. I'm asking you in conclusion today, which one is it with you? Will your house stand, or will you suffer the greatest of all tragedies of being unprepared to meet God? Many storms we go through life. There's only one way to stand them all, and that is to be in Jesus Christ. What decision will you make today with what this simple story of Jesus? Jesus said, there was a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended and floods came and beat against that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. There was a foolish man that heard the same saying. That foolish man didn't obey them, and his house fell. And look what he says about that. great is the fall of it. I hope you've decided today to say, decided to be a wise person, decided to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and be a follower that hears the Word, believes it with all your heart, and then just puts it into practice and lives by it day in and day out. So when the time comes for you to leave this world, you can go to sleep in Jesus and be assured that you've built your house upon something that will withstand it all. And hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." It's a wonderful invitation. It's Jesus' invitation. Will you obey it this morning? You're subject in any way. Give me your hand, but God, your heart, and be on your way serving the Lord as God wants us all to do. Won't you come while together we stand in